What's up, everybody? Welcome to Ringside Geeks, your home to everything in the wide world of wrestling. The www.com.org/yay. It's wrestling. My name is Dave, and joining me, as always, is Tom.
I am here. Don't believe me. Just watch. Come on.
Now we have to pay for that. Thanks, Tom. Also joining us is John.
This is a very live edition of Ringside Geeks. The champ is here.
And our resident woman of honor, Monroe.
How is it different from any other episode of Ringside Geeks? Hello, that's me.
We're turned up, fam.
Oh, are we,
fam? It's lit.
Turned with a T. So we're going to dig right into it. We got a lot to cover, especially if we actually want to get to this NXT segment that we've been teasing for weeks. So I guess we'll cover New Japan and the Indies right away since it's still fresh in some people's minds. John and myself were in Chicago for Global Wars Chicago Ring of Honor pay-per-view event extravaganza. It was a long day of standing in a line for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, it was a bit, man. But, I mean, it was well worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. we got to meet pretty much anybody we wanted to. We were second in line behind two other dudes who were pretty cool. Everybody around us was pretty cool. Not your typical annoying fan, although there were some in the background. You could, you know, hear them rambling and... There's always that that smart mark in the line who is talking about, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? Pretty much what we do on a weekly basis, but
yeah.
But in a line, and you know that condescending conversation, like, oh,
get a podcast, dude.
Right, just in a condescending way. They kind of got away with a lot of stuff, bringing stuff in. The guy brought in a flag pole. With that, like a Bullet Club flag on it, but it had the pole with it, like a PVC pipe.
Wow.
Jeez.
Could be used as a weapon, but apparently they said, sure, bring it in. But, I mean, they were selling umbrellas, so I guess whatever.
That's a good point,
Everything goes at that point. while we were waiting in line, we could see inside the venue because they made us wait outside the venue because the line to get in was, like, right at the door to get into the main arena area, and we could see people walking around, checking out the merch table, guys like Cody, Marty Scurll,
Daniels, Kaz.
Yeah, Daniels and Kaz came out. Cody gave me a little nod from the steps. I think that was Cody, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cody in his business suit, all business, all the time.
Drinking coffee.
Yeah, so that was cool. Then we got inside, and Kaz and Daniels were right there to sell their comic book and also give away autographs and stuff right there at the merch table. So as you walked in before you went upstairs to go to your meet and greet, if you're doing the meet and greet, you could do a mini meet and greet with those two guys. So I did. Why not? They're awesome. Most underrated,
sure.
Most underrated tag team ever. Kaz and Daniels.
Some of the most underrated guys ever. I mean, not even a tag team, just ever.
People underwrite them? Well, I didn't know that.
Nobody talked.
Because they're not in the W. That's why.
Nobody really gives them credit, I would say. Nobody, they don't get mentioned in the top five of, you know, modern tag teams or anything like that.
I see. Well, yeah.
No offense to people out there, but to the uneducated fans, they do fall outside. Those of us that are educated.
Yeah. Cool dudes. I told Daniels I loved him, and he said, but are you in love with me? And I said, I can't commit to that. It's too soon.
Oh my gosh!
So we had some fun back and forth. Then we went up.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because I had seen him wrestle at Windy City Wrestling. This was a long time ago with my dad. It was like one of the first wrestling shows I went to, and it was in a local community college. And just to be able to kind of say to him like, "Hey man, I saw you when you still had hair." It was really cool. It was a cool moment. And
that's funny.
Yeah, the merch table was great. They were selling all kinds of official New Japan merchandise with the Lion's mark on it. So. And then we went upstairs to the meet and greet, which
I would have marked out because I've always been a huge Christopher Daniels fan. Always.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. No. No Daryl at the merch table. That was disappointing. But I guess they were saying it would cost them like hundreds of dollars to bring at least like five of them. And they just couldn't, Ring of Honor couldn't afford it, I guess, or whatever. But so he went upstairs. There were two lines. There was everybody else and Kenny Omega.
Pretty much.
And everybody went to Kenny Omega's line first. And I don't know. We walked in through the Kenny Omega line. They were letting that line fill up first. And we got through pretty quickly. But because of that, we got to meet pretty much anybody we wanted to. So John stood in the Kenny Omega line for a little while. So I got my picture taken with the Young Bucks, who were super cool. Very, very nice guys, down to earth. They offered to let, you know, anybody they want take a picture with the title. They had that right on the table there. They just picked it up.
Oh, that's why you had it on your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. He's like,
okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Nick's like, you want to hang on to the title? I'm like, yeah. Why wouldn't I? And so, yeah, threw the title on. Talked to Cody, said hi to Cody. He's like, hey, nice shirt. I didn't realize I was wearing my Zelda shirt. I thought he was talking about my Bullet Club hoodie. And yeah, he's a cool dude. Very nice man. They were on their cell phone, or he was at least on his cell phone quite often, but he's a busy man. But yeah, I don't know. I had a blast.
Probably fielding calls from people wanting to know, what can we do now, Cody?
That's all bull crap.
I know. I'm just saying it.
Yeah. How do I get out of WWE and survive? Yeah, they're all going to Cody for that answer.
Yeah.
No, but it was a good time meeting those guys before the show. I don't know, John, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, we honestly, I feel like we got lucky because they cut the line off right after us, after we got in. So they were letting us in waves. And we were like, what, fifth or sixth in Omega's line? And by the time we got done meeting everybody and we sat in our seats, dude, that line was all the way downstairs. I mean, we were on the second floor, and this line for Kenny Omega mainly went all the way downstairs.
Snaked
it so,
through our seats,
I mean,
yeah.
That was awesome. That was so cool. And then, yeah, just to be able to meet Minoru Suzuki, who was and still is a hero of mine, especially lately, just a very cool moment for me. And Daryl Takahashi and Hiromu, this was so surreal just to walk into that room and see all these guys there. I don't know. They kind of seem larger than life, but you get to have a conversation with them and they're just down to earth dudes
right.
who love professional wrestling and do it for a living. So,
I was shocked. I don't know why at Takahashi's English, like it was as if he lived here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great,
it Dave?
Man.
You told me that Dave told me, he said, it sounded like he lived from California.
Yeah, it did. Like straight from LA or something. It was pretty surprising. I don't know why, I guess, but
and then you got to shake Jay Lethal's hand. I mean, they were just all so cool.
Yeah, dude,
everyone
was,
in
dude
there.
Was just walking by, and I'm like, hey, man, and then yeah,
legend.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome moment, and then even better show to follow for sure.
Yeah, the show was great. Did not expect to say goodbye to Bully Ray that night.
That was emotional for me, man. Like I almost welled up for sure.
Yeah, I was not planning on that. Then they had a little impromptu meet and greet during the intermission, but I didn't want to run up there and try to run back to my seat, even though I really wouldn't have missed a whole lot. But I also didn't have $20 if that was the normal charge to meet and greet with anybody. But you could always they were letting you just go up and talk to people once you got in. So once you give your ticket to whoever. There's only one specific ticket that was for the Young Bucks. Otherwise, the rest of them could have been used on anybody.
So, Bully Ray, but no Velvet Sky sighting. She wasn't around.
She's retired. She was not there. Oh. I don't know. I don't know if they would have let her do their stuff. But yeah, it was a very entertaining night. Got some cool video on my phone. But I wasn't one of those fans. My phone wasn't up the entire match. It was the entrances, and that's about it. Because I'm there to enjoy it in the moment. And it was great. I had a blast, and I would definitely do a Ring of Honor show again, especially pay-per-view, because holy crap. Only complaint, and it's a very minor complaint. It's more nitpicking than anything. It was very long.
Yeah, it was a little long, and if I've got to make a complaint, and again, very minor complaint, and something that I knew I was kind of getting into, or something that I kind of expected going in, it was very Bullet Club heavy. And it was very gimmick Bullet Club, like every match that they were in and the main event kind of getting overshadowed by the Bullet Club. Little disappointing, but not something that necessarily ruined the show for me. I mean, the action on the show was so great. being able to witness Minoru Suzuki Gotch-style pile driver, that 325-pound man. I mean, that was so fucking cool. Excuse my language. That was like, I couldn't have imagined that better. That was such a cool moment for me, just to be able to see that. And then Flip Gordon versus Will Ospreay. The athleticism in that match was incredible.
I was incredibly impressed with Flip Gordon.
Yeah, dude, he's really good for a young guy who hasn't been doing it too long. Very good. And then Marty Scurll and Takahashi had a pretty solid match, which I thought Takahashi really shined in that one. That was fun.
I liken what they did with the Bullet Club in this a lot to what DX and Stone Cold would do during the Attitude Era in house shows. It's very much like a gimmick thing at a house show. Like, they would get everything in that, you know, so people got the most for their money.
That's right. Yeah. It wasn't a
wrestling show. It was a Bullet Club meeting.
I think it makes sense.
But
to
I
me.
Think it would be naive to say that there was not a lot of really good wrestling on this card.
No, honestly. There was.
No, there was some good wrestling for sure.
Yeah. And the entertainment value, I think, should have been there because they're trying to expand, I guess. And they're going to spend all their money and make all their money riding the Bullet Club train.
That's right.
And I guess that's smart marketing on Ring of Honor's part, I would say, at this point. Cash in while you can, get the people to watch your product, and then hopefully they'll stay with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And for me, the best match of the night was the Bullet Club 8-man.
Yeah, that was great.
Bullet Club versus Search and Destroy. Right. I mean, Motor City Machine Guns are still insane. Those guys are
insane. They were the best of the night for sure, by far.
Tom can vouch for this. When we had first started talking and hanging out, my dream stable would have been my tag team was Motor City Machine Guns. My middle card guy was Austin Aries, and then my leader would have been CM Punk.
Yep, it's true.
I'm a huge Motor City mark, even though I hate Detroit.
I always have been.
Yeah, those guys are phenomenal.
Same here.
Shelly and Sabin.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, Shelly and Sabin were my favorite. I hated Generation Me and all the other, you know, high-flying tag teams that kind of went up against Shelly and Sabin. Those are my guys.
This was definitely a fun match, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you didn't get a whole lot of Jay White or who was the other dude?
Gresham.
Yeah. You didn't get a lot of them, and that's okay. But I came out of it impressed because I didn't see a lot of them. Hangman Page looked pretty good.
Hangman Page was really good in this match. Yeah, I thought
shockingly,
so too.
Again, because I haven't seen a lot of tape on him, and he looked good. I was impressed for the first time ever with Marty.
Yep.
And I think him and Takahashi have some good chemistry there.
They really do. Yes, sir.
Bouncing off each other. It was a lot of fun. I mean, him messing with Daryl and the crowd work and stuff, again, is there for the crowd.
That's what made it fun, dude. It was so fun to be there live because there was so much interaction, and that really, for me, put the show over the top.
I purchased a prop for our next streaming event, and you'll see it the next time we stream, which will be the Sunday post Hell in a Cell. I'm sorry, post DLC. Yeah, everybody will see it behind me. It'll be great. Only John knows what it is if he hasn't told anybody. I hope it can be a secret.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, right. But yeah, overall, great event. Highly recommend anybody going back and watching it. I think it was a good pay-per-view. You know, you feel bad for a lot of the Ring of Honor guys that have been there forever because they were clearly overshadowed by not just Bullet Club, but New Japan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly Bullet Club.
But not just Bullet Club.
Mainly Bullet Club.
Because most of Bullet Club is New Japan too, so...
great point.
All of Bullet Club is New Japan. You know, I can't think of one. That's
still
not
Bullet Club.
Yeah, it's anyway, it makes money sense. But yeah, I had a good time. Anything else, indie wise or New Japan? Anything that you got, John?
No, not yet. Power Struggle's coming up. Lots of speculation on the Switchblade thing. And apparently there was a new tease coming for another announcement, probably something to do with either the American Dojo that they're trying to open up or some more American dates next year, possibly a tour for New Japan. So we'll see what comes. But yeah, next week we'll probably be breaking down the Power Struggle card because that's coming up.
Cool.
Also in Stardom, they are having their tag team league. Right now, the Goddess of Stardom tag titles. Whoever wins it get a shot at the titles, obviously. And Yoko Bito is the current Wonder of Stardom champion, which is their secondary title. And Io Shirai actually came out to challenge her for that title. So that match, I think, will probably be a match of the year candidate. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Sweet.
Like a straight up match of the year or a women's match of the year? That was a joke. It was a joke.
Funny.
I thought.
No, it's a legit question. Do you think it's a straight up match of the year or women's match of the year?
There is only one category for that. And that's wrestling. That's so it would be match of the year.
Why it was a joke, Tom. I was not I was not asking straight up. All right. Yeah, let's move on to the E. Not a whole lot to talk about, really, with everything that happened this week. The Shield came out in their old gear, using the old entrance and the regular music with the Sierra, Hilo, blah, blah, blah crap, which was cool, I guess, nostalgic. And it was. News came out that it's not one and done, that they're at least going through 2017.
I thought when they the best was when they came out there, they surrounded Kurt, and Roman almost wanted to cut the old Shield promo on him, but Rollins cut him off. I thought that was a kind of a cool little thing. You know they're not going to be heel right now, but I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'm enjoying the Shield stuff, and interested to see how they make it last at least through the end of the year. I don't know. It's not really worth hyping, but it was fun to see WWE's Twitter account released a 2K18 version of The Shield coming out doing the club's entrance with AJ and Gallows and Anderson. It looked pretty funny. I thought it was funny. It's just added for Roman and Carl Anderson to go back and forth on Twitter and hype up a potential WrestleMania match, but it's not going to happen. It's just all in good fun. Curtis Axel got a nice pop again.
Yeah, so, he did.
There you go. Curtis Axel watch 2017 continues.
Axelmania running wild.
That's right.
He has still not been eliminated from that Royal Rumble.
but he was eliminated from the following one, so it's over. He was eliminated.
Does that count?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, once the year ends, it's over.
Okay.
Miz TV was a big pile of garbage. There was a lot of problems with that segment.
The whole show was kind of, it just seemed discombobulated to me, where you started off the beginning and then you had all the main players there, but then you brought them back out again later, aside from the Shield. It was just, you should have started with the Miz TV and then had the Shield come out. That would have been better for me.
I don't know. It was just the way everybody was talking was garbage. Like everybody, it seemed like lost what they were thinking, what they were talking about. It was a real mess.
I think they're really trying to get the Shield on TV as much as possible, because there isn't much else on Raw, I think, that's going to really carry the ratings. Whereas, so that's why you're seeing so much of the Shield, is because, I mean, they're the big draw right now. So I do think they should probably be careful to not overexpose them, though. You know, like, don't use them too much. So, but we'll see.
I was actually hoping, and I don't know what his injury status is. I was hoping we would have seen a Joe sighting as somewhere to maybe, I know it's the Shield versus the Miz and his group. I was hoping maybe Joe, and I know it doesn't fit into his current character, but I would like to see maybe Joe side with them. I don't know, but
with the
to
Shield?
Get Joe over. Yeah.
No, I don't like that.
To side with the Shield, you're saying?
Yeah, just because of what we saw later in the show, maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I was thinking more he would have been in Kane's position. I don't know. I mean, we're going to get to that in a minute. But, yeah, I don't know why that wasn't Joe and why they decided to bring him back for that. Kind of disappointing.
I just want Joe back on TV. I guess that's me.
It's not just you, man.
Pretty sure it'll happen in due time. We don't want to rush him back from an injury.
That's what I said. I don't know what his injury status is because they haven't really been updating it.
Yeah.
Well, I think they said today that he was ready. I think that came out today.
There you go. So maybe they're waiting until after. Maybe they're waiting until after TLC and then gonna run with Joe on the Raw after. Because you know he won't
surprise. I won't be happy until he's my champion.
They won't surprise you by having him show up at TLC, or maybe they will, but probably not. So yeah, big surprise on the Raw main event, which was a cage match between Roman and Braun. Kane returned through the ring and Kane's back.
That's gotta be Kane. The timing of it is wrong for me. I don't understand it.
It's Halloween, man.
They don't have time to explain it, so I don't get it at all.
It's Halloween. Bring back your scary character.
Well, okay.
Hey, you know what? It makes sense.
Dave, thank you. You just explained it for me.
I just went with the simplest answer.
That's it. Hey, that's the best explanation I have so far.
That's all I got.
I get his reasoning for wanting to come back, I guess, in kayfabe terms.
Did he lose
the election? Reigns was talking about The Undertaker.
Did he lose the election? So now he's back? I don't know.
Yeah, are we going to get like a Kane Undertaker Shield thing?
That's what I think they're going to do.
Yeah. At Survivor Series. Yeah, right. So there's potential for that, and this could be like Kane's farewell thing along with Undertaker. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see, I guess. All right, moving on to SmackDown, unless anything else from Raw that caught anybody's fancy.
We've talked about the Cruiserweight thing. I don't understand how the booking of the Cruiserweight division. They all come out and attack Enzo. We get it. Enzo's done great things to progress this Cruiserweight angle, and I love it. But now all of a sudden he has friends again. I don't think they even know what they're doing. And well, I know it's probably going to be he paid them to do this, but I really don't understand that.
They don't care about the Cruiserweights. That's the problem. They just, whatever's hot, they're running with it. And
I'm going to go long term
with any of this.
I'm going to go on a small rant because I've been thinking about this all week. WWE wants to separate themselves from a lot of things WCW used to do. And WCW used to do really well with the Cruiserweights. Cruiserweights were built to be, you know, the high flyers, the mat wrestlers, and, you know, the guys. But then you look at those, some of them that progress to another level. I don't think WWE gets that. The Cruiserweights that have come through the Cruiserweight division of WCW, much like Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, those guys, they started as Cruiserweights, but then they moved forward. I don't think WWE gets that. You have to start these guys at a certain point and then move them forward at another point. But I don't think they get that. They want to keep these guys at a certain level, and that's not going to work. That's why you have the possible, we don't know about, Neville walkout, the Aries definite walkout. They've got to do something different as far as the booking of this to keep these guys interested in what their character is going to do.
I don't know about that. Like, it's been a year? They've had the 205 thing, not even a year. They've had the Cruiserweights, the CWC, and then I guess maybe it's been a year for 205 Live now. Mm-hmm. But where are they? How fast are they supposed to move guys along? It's only been a year.
But they don't give enough attention to certain guys to give them that.
Right, that's a different story. That they're not getting the time. I mean, they are on their own show. But, you know, not Raw.
And then you get somebody like, we're going to SmackDown, somebody like Sin Cara now moves up to face Baron Corbin and gets a count-out win. What is a count-out win anyway? But this guy, this is who you're going to put in there? He's a cruiserweight. Let's call him that.
I think that's a one and done. I don't think they're planning long-term with Sin Cara for that feud.
They need to figure out what they want to do with these guys within the 205. I get it. But yet some of these guys are so good they can do things outside of it.
Well, and they've started to.
I got to see more.
It just started.
And what just started?
Them branching, you know, expanding outside of just them wrestling each other. And granted, it started with Enzo, which is, you know, not great, but it started at least.
How did it start?
Him showing up on Miz TV. Miz TV doesn't care about cruiserweights. Him fighting.
Oh, Enzo?
Yeah, him fighting, you know, Braun Strowman getting involved in his affairs. I mean, why? Other than it's entertaining to see him throw him around like a rag doll.
But is anything going to come of that? Does that count?
Well, him, you know, the Miz TV thing, I think, counts big time. That's crossover. And then, what was it on 205 Live, The Fashion Police showed up on 205 Live. That had nothing to do with Enzo, but there was some crossover.
That was Drew Gulak.
Right, there was some crossover there. I mean, it was short-lived and it was hokey, but then there was the Sasha thing way back with Rich Swann. Again, it was hokey, but it was some crossover. Again, that was them reaching, I think, for ratings and attention.
So that's more so people that are not in the Cruiserweights going to 205 Live, but not so much the Cruiserweights leaving 205 Live and doing other things.
It's crossover. I would say the Miz TV was, because that was on Raw.
I don't think that counts.
Why? That's crossover.
I think, I'm with Monroe. I know where she's going with this. I think that was just to further the thing with Enzo to, because, you know, Miz is going to rip anybody on the mic, no doubt.
Right. Even and Enzo, that's the good. Point. That's the point. You're trying to get over the 205 Live or the Cruiserweight brand, and you're using Enzo because whatever. I guess it's an emotional thing. It's something to tug at, I guess, for the crowd because they want a reaction. So you use Enzo in that fashion, and you use him on Miz TV, which is not a Cruiserweight thing typically.
I think where I'm saying, and Monroe is agreeing with me, that doesn't mean anybody from 205 is going to come up and challenge anybody on the main roster. I want to see that.
Yeah, it hasn't happened. That's what we want to see.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe it won't. Maybe they want to stick to just that. I don't know.
That's the thing. I feel like they lost their identity with that division, and I feel like they need to kind of hurry up and establish what it's going to be all about, because when you give Enzo the title, you're kind of saying we're going in this direction, and then to take it off of him so soon feels like they just are kind of hot potatoing it, and it doesn't really establish for me one way or the other way, like, you know, what this division is all about. Is it going to be about character development? Is it going to be about professional wrestling? I'd like to know what's the point of the Cruiserweight division.
I don't know.
We got to move on. I'm not there right now.
I don't think that it degrades the 205 Cruiserweight division. I just want to see some of these guys maybe take a challenge somewhere else.
Right.
Maybe move up.
Okay. All right. We got to move on. We spent way too much time on this. All right. Real quick, SmackDown. AJ Styles confronted Jinder Mahal after Mahal called out Brock Lesnar for the Survivor Series. So it'll be champion versus champion, as we had previously discussed and had been rumored. Mm-hmm. So that's out there. Anything else from SmackDown that anybody wants to talk about? I kind of breezed through it.
I actually enjoyed a more heelish Sammy this week. I really did. I was lost on it last week, but this week was definitely more of a heelish Sammy, and I liked it.
Sure, he did a low blow. Doesn't get more heelish than that.
Yes, yes. Sammy pinned a 13-time world champion, by the way. Give him some exposure.
Yeah, Sammy pinned Randy. What did you say, John?
Bobby Roode taking a loss.
Yeah, Bobby Roode lost to Dolph.
Didn't care for that too much. I feel like it was a little too early for Bobby to be taking a loss. I know it was by nefarious means, but still, I think it was a little too soon. I don't know why I should care about Dolph Ziggler or why he should have a win right now.
It furthers this little bit of a storyline, so...
Yeah, I think that's all that is. I don't know. I'll move on to NXT. We had a cool match with Sanity and Undisputed Era, which ended in a huge brawl with AOP coming out. So they're building towards their War Games match next month.
Yep.
And Ember Moon qualifies for the 4-way Women's Championship match, joining Kairi Sane and Peyton Royce. Next week, we find out the last competitor in a nice, huge, giant battle royale, including such names as Dinara Conti, Lacey Evans, Sarah Logan, Dakota Kai, Bianca Belair, Billy Kay, Nikki Cross, Zeta, Mercedes Martinez, Sage Beckett, Vanessa Bourne, Santana Garrett, Aaliyah, Abby Lath, Reyna Gonzalez, and Candice LeRae. So any of those are qualifiers or potential qualifiers for the Fatal 4-Way Women's Championship match. So that should be fun.
Should be.
Yeah, hopefully that takes up a good segment of the show, and we get to see a lot, or it's just going to be a huge cluster. It's NXT, though, so it's usually a little different. But all right, that's all I got for the week in review, unless there's anything I missed anybody else wants to briefly touch on.
Nope. I'm good.
All right, let's jump into our TLC preview thingamajig. okay. So the kickoff match is Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. Yeah, I mean, that's been fun for Alicia. Fox? No, nobody? Okay.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at all, but I'm okay. It's a good kickoff match.
Sure. We all agree Sasha's going to win?
Of course.
Pretty much.
Probably not.
Cool.
I doubt it.
All right, then. 3-1. 205 Live Tag Team Match. Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann versus Gallagher and Brian Kendrick. That's been a fun build. As far as those two working together, I've enjoyed that. Gallagher and Kendrick working together.
Mm-hmm.
I like seeing Gallagher be a bad guy. It's been kind of fun. So, yeah. Tom?
I just like seeing Cedric Alexander getting some work because I think he's the, to me, he is the guy that needs to be challenged for the championship. So, I like it. It's been a good work.
Who wins?
I've got Alexander and Swan.
All right. Monroe?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the faces also.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I think the faces will pull it off.
All right. Asuka's debut match versus Emma. The subsequent question I ask, will this be a squash or will they get time? Monroe.
I think it's going to be a squash. Now, at first I said it wasn't, but now I think it will be.
All right. Then that answer goes in favor of Asuka. John?
I wouldn't be surprised if Emma won, too, by the way. I would not be surprised.
I think 100% of us would be surprised if Emma won.
I wouldn't be. They love that shock factor, whatever. So I don't know.
I doubt it. I 100% doubt that one. But okay. I get you. John?
Asuka will definitely win this.
And do you think it's a squash or they're going to get time?
I think they will get time, but not like 15 minutes time. They'll get like 10 minutes tops.
Okay. All right. Tom, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with John. I think Asuka wins, but they'll get at least, I think, 10 minutes tops. Emma will get a little bit in there, but yeah, it's anybody who thinks Asuka's going to lose this is delusional.
Looking at the card, there's not much on here, so I think they'll get at least 10, if not more. Yeah. I would hope.
I'm curious to see how much they tone down Asuka.
If at all, yeah.
Maybe not the first match, but we'll see.
Yeah. Alter Ego match. The Demon versus... I like these titles that PW Scorecards uses. The Demon versus Sister Abigail, a.k.a. Bray and Drag.
Is he going to make it?
That's what we called it.
They're booking it like he's going to be there, whether he's got some kind of disease or not. He shall be there. That is the rumor right now is that Bo Dallas is sick and they are worried that JoJo and Bray got it, so they're being held off of shows until they're sure they're not sick anymore.
Wow.
So there you go, Tom.
Well, I think it's going to be Finn going over because I think Finn's moving on to better things. And I hate to say that because this whole thing with Bray is just terrible. Putting Bray in drag with the Abigail thing is just terrible. Terrible.
Tell us how you really feel, Tom. All right, John? John Boy?
I really hope they don't give a win to Bray here. They're going to.
Hold on. You guys keep talking about Bray. I don't know who you're talking about. Sister Abigail is in this match.
Oh, Sister Abby. All right. Yeah. I think you're going to give a win to Abby here because it's new and they need to try and do something.
They gotta build
with
her
Bray.
Up. They got to build her up with Asuka joining the roster. We're going to need another strong.
We're going to need another strong female. Yeah. So, yeah, Sister Abigail is that female.
Nia Jax.
Wow. We have the new Santina on our hands, guys.
right. Which, did we talk about that on Sunday too with somebody? I feel like Santina came up on Sunday at some point.
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, why did Santina come up? That's odd.
Oh,
that's
I think it was odd. In line that lady behind us was talking about them disrespecting women.
Right, how bad that was. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? The rumor right now is that Lesnar's going to be defending against Balor at Rumble, so I'm hoping that they get him in here.
I love, you see, that just gave me goosebumps. I don't know why, because Finn's going to lose, but still.
There you go, man.
It's Finn in the spotlight. Let's just put it that way, at least. That's enough for me. All right.
I'm okay with that.
Monroe, do you take the man or the demon or the lady?
Is it really going to be Sister Abigail versus Finn and not Bray versus Finn?
That's what they're billing it as.
So that's why the whole Bray Wyatt is sick thing, that's where that comes from? So it'll be Sister Abigail and not Bray?
Well, no, I think they're legit sick. They're off live shows, all three of those people.
Oh.
I think it's meningitis, I want to say, is what they have.
Yes, meningitis.
Yeah.
Would Finn be the...
What is going on?
Somebody's going off over there.
Meningitis, no! No!
Finn would be the demon, or he'd be just regular Finn?
I believe it's the demon. They get to be their alter egos.
It will be
the demon. Because the first match was, what, the demon versus Bray, and then it was the man versus Bray, and then now it's alter egos. Demon versus, I guess, Sister Abigail is Bray Wyatt's alter ego.
This is so stupid. I'm sorry. who really cares about whatever? It's Finn.
You know who's going to win? Spider-Man.
All of us. The fans. We win.
Yeah, we win.
When we watch when we watch the demon destroy a delusional man.
He already did.
Again.
Why are we watching it again?
Fine, we get to watch the demon destroy a delusional man ... again.
The demon should be the end game. Not the continuation.
Hey, at least we're getting the demon again. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Let's just throw that out there.
Just want to see the entrance. I just want to see the entrance.
I'd rather have better booking than seeing Finn Balor in paint.
There's a tailored question on the card. Does Abigail get her own entrance music? And does Abigail use Bray's Sister Abigail finisher?
Stop. This is so bad. This can't be real. Oh my god.
This is real life, kid. You're not, this isn't a trip to the dentist.
So y'all wanted the Attitude Era back.
This is not Attitude.
This is close to it. The Attitude Era had some stupid shenanigans stuff.
Don't we remember when Goldust started coming out with Luna?
Nowhere near a hand being born from Mae Young or was Fabulous Moolah or whoever. Hasn't reached that kind of insanity yet.
That would be Mark maybe Henry. Not you were going that on one, Mark but
that's Mark, an extreme, Mark Henry did not sure, give birth to a hand.
There were
Mark Henry and Mae Young gave birth to a hand.
Mae Young gave birth to a hand. Mark Henry was just there.
Well,
let's give credit to the
women. His baby hand.
Hey, I'm a feminist. The women do all the work.
he was baby hand daddy.
That's right. Greased up baby hand daddy. Oh, that's gross. All right, Cruiserweight Championship. Kalisto is your champion, taking on Enzo Amore, who is out partying all over Red Hot Chili Peppers on Instagram.
Give it away now.
Now I gotta pay for that song too, Tom. Thank you. No licensed material. It's your second warning. Monroe?
I'm sorry, what? Oh, this is Enzo and Kalisto?
No, I want you to yell at Tom for singing.
Oh, stop singing, Tom.
Thank you.
But I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, Marks. Marks.
Well,
it's just me and John out on an island. Bullet Club for life.
Oh boy.
For life?
No, I'm sorry.
Stay
yes.
on that island.
Yes.
For life.
Oh, no, you didn't. Island is welcome to all great wrestling fans. Just throw it up. Just throw it up.
Gag me with a spoon.
Monroe, one sweetest. One time. One sweetest.
One sweetest. One sweet.
Sure. No, all right, please, Enzo and Kalisto, if you would mind.
I do need to give a shout out to my favorite wrestler, Chase Owens. Missed you, buddy. I wish you was on the call Sunday.
I love it.
I actually thought it was Tim, but it was Hangman Page. I get them mixed up. I'm sorry.
Wait, which one yelled at you? Chase, didn't he?
He didn't really yell at you.
He kind of.
I once confused you from a guy that was on a show, but he wasn't here. That's you, Chase.
She's not over enough to get attention from Hangman Page yet.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there.
He's not either.
He's working on it, though.
Yeah, he needs to also. Let's see.
Jesus.
Kalisto is. No, Enzo is going to get his title back.
Brutal. All right. All right, John.
obscure Bullet Club members.
Clearly. I mean, if Enzo Amore is in a match, he's winning the match. So it's going to be Enzo. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Tom?
I have Enzo getting the title back because Enzo has done great things for the Cruiserweight division because now people are paying attention.
Stop using the word great.
You're right.
Stop using the word great.
They're paying attention. It's not giving him the title back.
He's not doing great things. Great. Stop you overusing that word. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Great things.
You bastard.
Enzo and great don't belong in the same sentence.
Great things.
All right. Before we get to our
dual. Cruiserweight's great again.
Right. Let's quit it, Trump. Before we get to our dual main event, it should be noted that sometime in November, I think right before NXT, the Friday before NXT, actually, Shawn Michaels will be refereeing an NXT match between Adam Cole, baby, and Drew McIntyre, I believe.
Are they going to put this on the network?
I imagine you'll get some YouTube coverage or something.
I would hope so, because you wouldn't advertise it if it's not going to be a big thing.
Is it Drew? Is he going against Drew? Is it a title match?
Yeah, it's a title match.
Yeah, it's a title match.
That's cool. I don't think he's going to win, but I think it's cool. It's fun. House show. Fun for the house show, yeah. Plus, get HBK in there, who, of course, has to have some kind of
influence on Adam Cole. It's in San Antonio, so.
What?
It's in San Antonio, so he doesn't have anything else to do.
Well, he's helping those guys train.
Oh. There's a Ring of Honor show that weekend also. So, there's that.
Okay.
So he doesn't have anything else. So he doesn't have anything else to do.
Hey, Candice LeRae wants to face Kenny Omega. Let's just put that out there.
Meh.
It could happen.
Book it.
Meh. I'd rather have Sasha.
Book it.
Sasha face Kenny?
Yes. She'll sell that match better than anybody else.
She's got to get off the WWE pre-shows before she can fight Kenny Omega.
That's her plan. You'll see.
Jesus. She'll be one of the first lady Japan wrestler, New Japan wrestlers.
That's right.
She's the first what?
Woman New Japan wrestlers.
No, not New Japan. Oh. They don't care about women wrestlers. They don't care about women.
That was mostly my joke. All right. Female gender, women's championship, Raw brand, Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James. What do you got, Tom?
I've Alexa all day, every day.
All right. John?
Yeah, Alexa, for sure.
And Monroe?
Yeah, I got Roman. Alexa keeping the title.
All right, and then our main event, the TLC, the only TLC match, the only gimmick match on the whole card.
Kind of a letdown.
That's better than having one tables match, one ladder match, and one chairs match. This is better than that.
No way. Gimmick every match on this card.
A chairs match is the worst idea ever. Especially when it was
any different from a table or a ladder.
Because there's no what's the chairs match is just a hardcore match. Just call it what it is.
It's a chair match.
Chairs.
You don't win when you hit somebody with a chair, though.
No, but you can use them.
That's you a don't hardcore win when you match. Hit somebody with a ladder.
But you're using a ladder to. The ladder is used to win. A table is used to win.
Chair is used to win.
A chair is used to us. Forget it. You guys are just poking at a logistical argument that I have. All right, 5-on-3.
Not so much.
Totally. Right, logic is missing.
All right, we'll move on. Who cares? Nobody cares. All right, so we'll talk NXT now. Since its debut in, 2011? 2012, when FCW became NXT, they've tried to make it its own entity down there in Florida, getting its own TV show, and I'm not talking about the NXT, like, Daniel Bryan NXT, where it was, like, a audition show, like, America's Next Top Wrestler. But,
yeah, I'm terrible.
Right. NXT, the show itself, where it was its own brand, like FCW was, and Ohio Valley Wrestling, and all of that good stuff. It's been its own thing, and it's been good. I have a hard time finding the bad in it, but kind of want to just go around the table and do you have like a favorite memory going all the way through NXT's history leading up to now? Something that sticks out to you in your mind, or a favorite person that's come up through there? Right now for this discussion, just disregard their main roster career. We're just talking about what they did in NXT, and how they progressed from start to finish, you know, their debut match all the way to them, their last match, their final match. Do you have a favorite person that you've seen that you rooted for the whole time, waiting for them to get called up, you know, because they earned it type of thing? We'll start with you, Monroe.
Of course, you just start with me.
Because yours is obvious. I'm pretty sure yours is obvious.
I mean, my choice is pretty obvious. This girl was made in NXT, and she, main roster, yeah. Sasha, hands down. That's who helped me care about women's wrestling in WWE again, because I had stopped caring probably after like 2003. And she, along with other women that were there too, don't get me wrong, but she really helped me care again. Like when she debuted, I saw it then. She debuted against Paige, and I saw it then. And I was like, this is a girl
to watch. With the blonde hair?
Yeah, it was like a light brownish.
Yeah.
I mean, even though this was like her first NXT match, she was still very solid in the ring, great at selling, great at all those things already that early. And I was blown away when I first saw her. So I follow her since then, and I'm a huge fan, as you guys know. And yeah, her NXT career is I don't know, a legend.
All right, John, is there any for you?
Yeah, I had not followed NXT up until I heard that Kevin Steen was going to be debuting in NXT, and that actually prompted me to order the network, to subscribe to the network. And man, I did not miss an episode of NXT after that, because to me, his debut and his tenure in NXT, I don't think there has been anyone like Kevin Owens. From his debut, when he had that match with CJ Parker and he busted his nose up, I thought he was there, and I thought he was in WWE to change wrestling. And I got, you know, then he turned on Sammy in the same night, and it just felt like they understood who they had and what they had with him. And it's been a long time with WWE where I've been that invested in someone in a major title picture, like I was for Kevin Owens. So definitely that was my favorite point in NXT thus far.
All right, Tom.
I'm kind of two prong on this. I agree with John. I love what they did with Kevin. Kevin coming in, because everybody who knows who he was, and him coming in, it was beautiful the way that they built him up, especially the Parker match and then turning on Sammy. It was beautiful. But I'm going to go back, and you guys are going to kill me, but my evolution has been watching the Revival. The Revival has been the tag team that I watched from their inception coming into NXT, mm-hmm. through the ranks, and I have been in love with them from the entire time, because they are old school.
Wasn't the Revival a different tag team though? It was one of those guys with somebody else.
They were the Mechanics or something, right?
They were called the Mechanics,
right? Yes. But it wasn't Dawson and Dash. It was somebody else.
No,
and somebody.
No, I thought they were both always together as the Mechanics.
I thought
it was just a different name.
I thought they were paired up together later, but I don't know. I could be wrong. Go ahead.
But I've been in love with them because they are, in my mind, you guys know, I'm a tag team wrestling guy, and it's old school tag team wrestling. And these guys have been that, and they have done that all the way through NXT, two tag team championships. Nobody's done that. And now going to the main roster, they've had their hiccups on the main roster. But I think once they get healthy, you're going to see what these guys really are all about.
Man, I hope you're right, because the Revival, if I hadn't said Kevin Owens, the Revival for me was the other reason why I tuned in to NXT every week.
Those
guys reinstated my love in tag team wrestling. I fell out of it because WWE's tag team scene was abysmal for a long time.
Absolutely.
And watching those guys, I could not wait to see them get called up, because in my opinion, They are the epitome of tag team wrestling.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And Dave and I, we used to talk. When they used to fight Ciampa and Gargano all the time, or who was it before that?
American Alpha.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could watch these guys work every week. Put these guys on TV every week. I can just watch it. I don't care. I want to watch what they're doing.
Even at a house show, I went to an NXT house show the one random time they came to Birmingham, and I saw the Revival versus DIY, and that still is probably, and I was at WrestleMania 30. That's still probably the best match I've seen live, period. And that was at a house show. Those guys did all that at a house show, and it was incredible. That chemistry, and they're so talented, man. Oh my God. Yeah, and the Revival is incredible.
Yes, and these are two guys. Do not ever split them up. They belong in a tag team for the rest of their lives.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. It was just always those guys. So.
But they were called the Mechanics.
Yes, yes.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is correct. Yep. I was thinking of a different tag team in
Ascension, NXT. Maybe?
Yes. Yep. Connor got added in later. There's a different
Victor got added in later.
Yeah, I always get those mixed up. The big dude.
Mm-mm, the other one.
Hey, we're talking about top guys. Top guys.
Well,
before even that,
John mentioned that the tag team division was abysmal, but the tag team division, I think, within NXT has always been good.
Always. Yes, sir.
And not,
they've done a great job. Triple H has done a great job with everything in NXT. Let's be honest.
Not just,
everything Triple H has done is gold with NXT.
Not just the Revival. Yeah, of course, you had their run with DIY, too, and then ending with Authors of Pain being involved in that triple threat. But you look back at the tag teams that were over, in NXT, or, just watching NXT, like a tag team like the Vaude Villains or the Ascension was so dominant. The Ascension was... really dominant down there, and
kudos to the Ascension. Yes, right. Still the longest reigning tag team.
Yeah, the Lucha Dragons were.
I was going to say, even the Lucha Dragons had great matches in NXT. They
had Buddy Murphy. Buddy and Murphy.
Oh yeah,
had
Blake
great
and Murphy.
Yeah,
Blake
absolutely.
And Murphy. Blake and Murphy. Blake. I'm sorry.
Right. And to be fair, I know she gets a lot of slack on this show, but Alexa Bliss had a lot to do with that too.
She did.
Being their manager.
She was great in that capacity.
Kind of raised them to another level, I think. And her.
Yes.
And her. Even Enzo and Cass down there, clearly, were over. The tag division was, everything is gold down there, but the tag division was really well done. It featured a lot of teams.
They do a good job. Triple H does a good job of flowing the tag teams, because there's still tag teams down there. The Street Profits, the War Machine. I mean, everything.
Not War Machine.
I'm sorry. Heavy Machinery. Sorry.
Man, you know something I don't know.
Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, you've got Sanity. You've got AOP. You've got a lot of tag teams down there. Heavy Machinery.
My bad.
TM61.
My bad.
On their way back.
That was great, Tom.
Yeah. Don't break news that's not real news. We're not fired. This isn't
CNN.
Hey, I don't think
CNN.
It's going to be too long, folks.
This isn't CNN or NBC News. We only talk about real news or rumored dirt sheets. The women's division has always been pretty strong. I mean, there's been moments of weakness where it hasn't been as deep, but the top has always been strong.
They have to build, especially when people get called up, they have to build. And they did that with the tag team division, with the main event scene, and with the women. It started out, kind of weak too, when Paige was dominant, but she really didn't have much competition other than like people like Raquel Diaz or Emma. And then you had people like Natalya and Alicia Fox that would come there, but they were building talent. And that's when we got the Four Horsewomen and those that followed. So,
right.
Yeah, they had their moments, their down periods, but they always, was building talent, and it was awesome.
That's also a huge testament to Asuka, because the Four Horsewomen moved up, but she continued to stay at the top of her level and elevate the ones below her to make the women's division that good. Because they had already left by the time, you know, Asuka was really going on a run. And then she still worked with a lot of these young talents and made them that good.
Well, they were gone. Bayley was the only one left.
Yeah, just Bayley. Even Nia Jax, she put Nia Jax through a good match.
She did.
Do you have, and I assume I know John's answer, but do you have a favorite NXT champion, the guy that was the face of the company, so to speak, the face of the brand, Tom?
Me?
Yes, your name's Tom, right?
Me?
I don't know a face of the brand.
Your really NXT counts. Champion, the NXT champion, the guy that's, you know, running the place, as they like to call it.
I don't know if I can pick one guy that's been the best.
Your favorite. I'm not saying he had to be the best at it. Your favorite NXT champion is all I'm asking.
I mean, Bobby Roode, of course, but I don't know. I can't pick one. There have been so many. I can't pick one.
All right. John, is it Owens?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Owens, mainly because when he got called up and he brought the freaking title out with in the middle of the ring with John Cena, I mean, that's like brand recognition. He represents, and like that was the coolest thing for me to see him coming out there like that and then stomp on the United States title and hold up the NXT title.
Yes, that was great.
That was iconic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Monroe, that was awesome.
Monroe, do you have a favorite?
I have a few, but I'm going to try to pick one. I've been a huge Pac fan for years. I followed his career on YouTube. And when he got signed to WWE, I didn't know it was going to be NXT at the time. I was super excited. And he became Adrian Neville and now Neville. And I think he was probably one of my favorite champions in NXT. The other one would have to be Big E. But if I had to choose one, it would be Neville.
All right.
That was my guy.
All right. The future of NXT, what we're looking at now with guys like the Street Profits, we're looking at just the tag team division, Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, TM61 still down there, Authors of Pain, Sanity, and then you look at singles wrestlers, like the women's division is pretty stacked at this point. There's quite a lot of talent down there, and then the rest of the card, what are you excited about? Who are you excited about going forward, John?
Definitely excited about seeing women like Dakota Kai and what's her name? Kairi Sane. Definitely excited about the women's division there. I'm definitely excited to see what they do with Roderick Strong from here on out. He's probably my favorite. I've actually been getting more into the idea of the Undisputed Era as things go along. The only thing I can say for NXT that I kind of want to see change in the future is I feel like lately a lot of the NXT champions really haven't needed to be on the brand. I feel like guys like Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre and Shinsuke, maybe Shinsuke Nakamura is someone who needed it, but I feel like those guys could have went straight to the main roster and really had success there. Whereas, you know, I could see why they want to put Adam Cole in a developmental program or Shinsuke Nakamura. So I hope that they get back to like really developing younger talent, not guys who are already like 40 years old, because I feel like those guys can be more like AJ Styles and just make that transition because of prior TV experience onto the main roster. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I'm really like NXT, and I think that it is the best product that WWE offers today, for sure.
All right, Tom?
I'm actually excited about the women's division, really, going to NXT. I mean, all these women that came through the Mae Young Classic, I mean, we're just looking at these going into the Battle Royal this week. I mean, just the names just jump off the charts. Candice LeRae, Lacey Evans, my favorite, one of my favorites, Sarah Logan. I really love what Sarah Logan brings.
She's great.
You still have Sari Kane but Sari Kane is still standing there as the kind of the top.
Who? Who?
Well, I'm sorry, did I pronounce your name wrong?
You not even pronounce it, you used the wrong letters. Kairi Sane.
Kairi Sane. Yeah, look, I did that all backwards. My bad.
It's okay. But we all know you're a couple beers in.
But the women in this division I think the women divisions in NXT is going to rule right from going forward right now. The men's division, we know, I love what's going on with Drew McIntyre and with the Undisputed Era, but I want to see what the women's division is going to do.
All right, Monroe?
Yeah, it's going to have to be the women for me also. There are a lot of women there that I like, that I've been watching for a long time now, and there are some that are coming from the Performance Center that are getting better and better, Peyton Royce. And I'm excited to see them rebuild this division since Asuka has moved up. I will say that I am excited to see some of the talent they got from the Mae Young Classic. I would like to see them actually wrestle like they can. That would be nice. Hopefully they'll let them do that at NXT. They usually don't hold them back there. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for the women's division.
They had a nice triple threat match with Ember Moon and Nikki, or not Nikki Cross, Ember Moon. Stupid. The MMA looking chick and
bless you,
Ruby Riott. It was a good match.
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville. Yeah, about. The MMA chick.
Yeah,
yeah. That was a good match. But yeah, for me, I'm all in on this Undisputed Era angle. I want to see where that goes as far as what they let those guys do. So far, it's been kind of fun and surprising. And I'm fans of all three of those guys, so that'll be fun. I've been down with the Sanity thing because it was different and awesome at a real faction with a tag team and a leader and a woman. So that's like my favorite style of faction where they have a lot actual more than three people. So that's been fun to watch and develop. And now they're actually kind of in a face role going forward, which is weird, but cool, I guess. And you got to see a lot more of the tag team's talent at the last takeover. So like a guy like Alexander Wolfe got some time.
Yeah, he did.
And he looked good. So, I think overall the NXT brand is great from top to bottom production wise. I'm a sucker for the black ring and the black ropes or the yellow ropes. And it's just a cool look.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, they've always had a good announce table. I'm not, too psyched on Percy, but what are you going to do? They can't win.
Ronaldo kills it.
Ronaldo has been hit or miss. Like his commentary can kind of wane on me a little bit at times in NXT. And it's funny, you can really tell when his pre-recorded voice comes on, when they do the tapings, like it's a totally different animal. Like it sounds completely different. That's not his fault, but, it's funny. But yeah, so NXT is a lot of fun to watch. Let us know what your favorite moments in NXT, the big moments like Kevin Owens turning on Sammy or, the Cesaro and Sammy best of, was it three?
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice... that was the first time I ever saw the DDT through the ropes, and I have been an amazed at it from this, to this day. It's still my favorite spot ever.
And even we watched the match with Sami and Shinsuke. That was one of my favorite NXT moments. Just watching the match evolve because it just happened.
Yeah, there you go. That should be a shirt. It just happened. Your favorite moments, the UK championship, the DIY turn, all that stuff. Let us know at Ringside Geeks on all the social medias. Stay tuned to YouTube because we will have some content for some unboxing, and I promise you I will be streaming live this weekend, if not at least a recorded version of WWE 2K18 My Career Mode and Road to Glory Mode as well this weekend. At some point, probably Friday night, I'll be alive at least. And then, I'll be putting up my career mode with, they don't have the word incredible listed in the roster. So he has to be indestructible Ian Richter.
Wow. It's
as close as I can get. Yeah, I know. Or I could just drop it all together and just be Ian Richter. Either way. Stay tuned to YouTube for that. Also, like I said, some crate unboxings by John should be coming soon.
Yes, sir.
So you have that to look forward to. And then, of course, after TLC on Sunday, we will do our live reaction video on YouTube. So you'll want to stay tuned for that as well. Tom, if people want to find you on social media, how?
Skiz. They can find me at Skiz_world on Twitter.
All right, Monroe.
I am.
We lost you.
Whoa.
You're back.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're back.
Damn it, Chase Owens. I am E_ENT on Twitter.
Wait, stop. You're saying the Bullet Club just invaded our podcast?
Yeah, man, they're coming after me.
They hijacked our feed just to get
now
at
who's
just,
the stooge?
Just to get at Monroe.
You know who the stooge is.
Yes.
Chase Owens,
yes.
That's who it is.
Yes. 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 John,
no.
Social media.
Oh, I see what you did there. I'm at @XJohnNeve.
There you go. All right. We will be back next week to talk all things wrestling yet again and have some more fun. And hopefully this cold will be gone because I'm going on a vacation. So this would be nice to be gone. Anyway, we will be back. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed what you heard, please tell a friend. Rate and review us on iTunes. All of that good stuff. Otherwise, for now, good luck and good night. There will be a tomorrow. Happy days are here again. Other cliches. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Everybody.